Welcome to episode 17, Brothers of the Holy War. I am Chase Egbert, coming to you from God's country in Idaho. Andrew Brown, how are we doing down there in Arizona, buddy?
Just another day in paradise. It was and beautiful.
Nice. That's awesome. I love that you consider 80 degrees, you know, good weather. We're at high 40s, low 50s, and we're thinking this is great.
Yeah, I'm just excited for a winter with no chance of snow. I'll take it. Sign me up.
You know, it'd probably be cold day in hell if that happened here in Rexburg. But all right. So coming up this episode, we've got BYU's win with Liberty.
We'll dive a little deeper in and see if Zach Wilson's ready to go.
We've got Utah in the college football playoff.
We'll talk keys to this week's game for both teams.
And we'll break down a little bit of how we did last week with our predictions with the games around the nation and talk a little bit about a couple coming up this weekend.
And finally, we'll do our final rant.
All right, let's kick it. Segment one, game highlights. So we only had one game this weekend. BYU takes on Liberty, another independent school from back east, and they come fulfilling some of their vision of playing BYU in their home stadium. So it was interesting going into this. BYU's got a 17-point favor. Ends up being pretty close one. Did you get a chance to watch any of that one, Andrew?
I watched highlights and I kept up with it, but I didn't actually watch it live.
Gotcha. I ended up being able to make it to this game. Wasn't in the forecast for us, but then randomly a couple tickets showed up and being able to spend some time with family and friends. So my boy and I took off, made it down there, and you know, it was a fun game. I know it was closer than most BYU fans would have liked. It was 31-24 BYU. Liberty had the ball last minute, and they're driving down the field. Everyone's a little anxious, but it was a fun game. It was a good game. And some of the names throughout the season that you've seen kind of show up and do well kind of accumulated in this game between Baylor, Micah Simon, a little bit of Bushman as well.
Yeah, it looked like while it was close in the score, I don't feel like many BYU fans ever thought they were in jeopardy of losing that game. Am I wrong by saying that?
No. BYU was definitely the better team and never lost control. It's just when you have a team whose Super Bowl is playing BYU, that's the biggest game of their season.
Yeah.
And also BYU gives up a couple turnovers and they didn't get any in return. It makes it a closer game than it should have been.
Yeah, and I know the coaches can preach it and everything else, but after all the games BYU's played against big names, it's probably just a little bit hard to get up for Liberty after everything else they've gone through in the last month or so.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's kind of why, if you remember last week, I made that prediction that it was going to be a close game.
Yeah.
And I think you said you were a little surprised, but, you know, having watched BYU, that tends to be what they do. They'll go out and they'll beat a couple teams pretty soundly, or they'll play tough teams really close and they have this big emotional high, and then they'll have a little bit of a let off, you know.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's the first team this year that people thought they should beat, you know, actually walk off the field with a big victory, and shouldn't be any contest. It's the first time that they've done it this season.
Yeah.
So you look at like Toledo and Southern Florida, they should have beat them, didn't. So this is technically the first one where they're expected to win and did it.
Yeah, call it a step in the right direction. I guess they took care of business, won a game they were supposed to win.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. And we'll take any W we can get. And it was a fun one. They threw in some trick plays. Several trick plays. A couple of them worked. A couple of them did not.
Yes.
Baylor ended up throwing his sole interception of the season so far. I think it's his only interception of the season. On a trick play, you could tell he just wanted it so badly, he just threw up a really bad decision. And then they went for it again on fourth, and I think it was fourth and three on a fake field goal, and that one didn't work out so good for him. It was, I think Liberty was kind of expecting something on that one.
Yeah, and I guess looking at the rest of BYU's just by BYU schedule, you're probably not saving any trick plays for later or anything, but I thought it was interesting that they decided to do as many trick plays as they did against a team like Liberty.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd mentioned that we knew the True Blue Hero for this past week. While he was talking to the players after practice, he'd asked him, like, do you have any trick plays? And the players said, yes, we have four of them that we're going to try and run. Sure enough. And so he called it. It's funny talking to him on the sideline. He was like, yep, they're going to do a fake field goal. And it was interesting timing on that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny to hear that background for sure.
Yeah. You know, one thing that was very interesting was watching Gandy Golden, the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He was so tall, and he looked like he was so fast on the field. Because we got pretty low seats this time, and we were pretty close to the field. He was impressive from Liberty. Definitely NFL quality, I think.
Yeah, I think that you mentioned that. That was the kid you mentioned before the game, right? NFL quality receiver that he showed up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, he was one that was very impressive to watch in person, because you hear about him and read about him, but to see it in person was impressive.
Yeah, I guess that's college football nowadays. There's enough parity that they can find you just about anywhere, right? If you're good enough, you play hard enough, and you show your skills, they'll find you anywhere. You can go to the NFL from Liberty.
Yeah, yep, exactly. It's kind of fun to see these intros anymore on NFL. Games where they say where they're from, and you get kids from all over the
place.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. You know, another thing that was kind of interesting, that was a highlight of sorts, was some of the camaraderie that both teams had towards each other. There was a lot of good sportsmanship. There's some amazing hits, amazing hard hits. It was pretty violent at times, but they were always helping each other up. You could tell they were kind of laughing at times. And then after the game, they had a huge prayer. Everybody got together, kneeled down, and had a prayer in the middle of the field. And I think Liberty actually was the one that said it. So it was pretty cool to see that. And we sat really close to the Liberty fan base, and they actually traveled okay. I was impressed by the number of fans that traveled, and they were actually fine to sit by. You know, they cheered when they should have, and they weren't jarring, and it was impressive.
Yeah, I think that's something you get. There's not a whole lot of background between the two schools, and I think that helps with some animosity there. They don't really know each other that well, and Liberty's a religious affiliated school as well, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's cool that they could figure everything out and have a prayer after the game. That was pretty cool to see.
I'll have to look it up, but there's rumors floating around out there that their honor code is actually more strict than BYU's.
Oh, that you'll have to look that up and share for sure, because that's interesting.
Yeah. And so one of the BYU players actually had mentioned that, and I was like, whoa, I gotta look that up and see what that means. But so all in all, you know, BYU did well. It was maybe slightly an emotional let off from two big games in a row, but still comes off with the victory, three wins in a row. First time that they've done that since the first three games, I believe, of Kalani's era. So we'll call that a win, and sets up the rest of the season maybe for a win out.
Yeah. Yep. I guess you're just looking at San Diego State at the end of the season. I feel like everything else should be there for you for sure.
Yep. Amen to that. Amen. So let's kick it over to segment two, goggles on, goggles off, so we can look a little bit at Utah and BYU's match coming up.
Okay, sounds good.
Segment two, goggles on, goggles off. Huntley, so it sounds like everybody's going to be healthy. I don't see why you guys couldn't do some damage there.
Yeah, if they're focused in, I you know, heck, we just put up 30-something on a good Washington team. They couldn't put up 40 or even 50 on UCLA, which they've been winning recently, but I'm not sure they've done that with their defense. So,
right.
We'll see.
Yep. And I'd venture to say that this is probably going to be the stiffest defense that UCLA has faced thus far.
Oh, for sure. I don't want to make a prediction or at this point or anything, but I don't know. Utah's a 21-point favorite for a reason. We'll just leave it at that.
And hopefully that didn't jinx them, but...
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, so... Even though Utah did not have a game this week, there was plenty of action, we'll say, going on around the nation that still affected them. Is there any love for Utah after Alabama's loss?
I guess there's a good side to it and a bad side to it. Utah moved up in the poll without playing. I thought there was a chance maybe Alabama falls behind them with the loss at home. Not all that shocked that they didn't, but I think the good news is that Oklahoma is still behind Utah, and surprisingly for me, actually, Minnesota is still behind Utah. I thought with their big win over the weekend that they might jump the Utes and Utah would stay at 8. So overall, I'll take it. I'll take the results from the weekend, and I think Utah still sits in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I think if they go out and do some damage against UCLA, make a statement, I think that loss, you know, in the long run might help you. Like you said, not terribly surprised that they didn't drop like crazy, but I mean, they're Alabama, so what do you expect?
Yeah, I think for the most part the results Utah wanted happened this weekend. Kansas State loses, which makes Oklahoma's loss look worse. Oklahoma could have, should have lost to Iowa State. Almost did there at the end. I guess somebody had to lose between Alabama and LSU, so that was a given. And then the fact that Penn State lost and Minnesota stayed behind the Utes kind of set them up in a good spot. So I think for the most part, I know it's week to week and that could all flip around this next Saturday, but I'll count this one as a success for the Utes this last weekend.
So putting those dense red goggles on, because I'm sure they're still pretty red.
Still pretty red, yeah.
Running the gauntlet. Can Utah put up those kind of numbers they need to get some national attention? Can they put up those, you know, the 40, 50, 60 points against UCLA?
I've gone back and forth on this. UCLA, I guess, technically still holds their own destiny in their hands in the Pac-12 South. I didn't realize that until I started looking into it a little bit. They're sitting 4-2 right now. If they beat Utah, they are in the driver's seat because they have USC still on the board too. So I guess they're not to be scoffed at, but I went back and looked at their last couple games. They beat Colorado, who's just been the cellar dweller of the league this year. They give up 32 to ASU. They just happened to score more. They gave up 48 to Oregon State. They gave up 63 to Washington State. I think even if Utah's defense scuffles a little bit, I think Utah should be able to put up, at least the way they've been playing recently, 40, 50 points against UCLA. So, yeah, I think they can do it.
And everyone's coming back healthy, it sounds like. You got Moss, you got
I'll count if something happens bad this weekend, I guess I'll take it. But me mentioning they're a 21-point favorite hopefully isn't a jinx.
We'll put that on Vegas. We won't put that on you, Andrew.
Yeah, that's on Vegas.
Yeah, sure. That's Vegas. Okay, so here's the question floating around BYU's camp, and I think we discussed it a little bit last week, but it's more realistic now. You know, when do you play Zach Wilson?
Yeah, and I don't know the context of this, but I saw an interview with Mr. Wilson after practice either today or one day this week that he has a quote saying that he doesn't think a quarterback should ever lose his starting job because of injury and things like that. So it looks like he was at least a somewhat participant in practice this week. Is that what you're hearing?
Yes. It sounds like he is willing and able to go for this week. And it sounds like the doctors gave him the green light. So it comes down to the coaches.
Yeah. I mean, if I don't know, I guess you want to make sure he's 100%. So if he says he's 90%, you maybe sit him another week because, I mean, you probably don't need him this week anyway. And Romney's shown he can play well and everything. But I feel like you kind of want to get that kid's the future. You kind of want to get him back out there as soon as you can. So I guess we'll see.
Right. Yeah, I can see the logic behind saying, okay, you're filling and playing 90%. Doctors say you won't necessarily get hurt anymore by playing, you know. I can see the logic in saying, hold on, let's hold him off one more game because this Idaho State game really doesn't matter. We could win this with Joe Critchlow out there, you know. But at the same time, reading between the lines with what Zach said in that same interview, I heard that same one you're talking about. I'm reading between the lines hearing, I will be offended. I will be, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't think he'd like very much if he didn't play and he was healthy to go.
I think he pretty much said, like, I'm going to be scorned or whatever if you don't play me. I earned that spot. It is my spot. I want to play. It's kind of what I heard between the lines.
Yeah, I agree. I think I probably heard a little bit of that too. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing coming from your number one QB, that he wants to be out there, he wants to play, he wants to win. At the same time, if the coaches decide to not play him, you don't want to burn any bridges there. I don't know. I guess it's a delicate situation, but I guess maybe, you know, we're reading between lines here. We don't know the whole information or anything. So.
Yeah. So that's actually what I have dialed up for my final rant, is my opinion on what you do with that whole situation.
Okay.
That's fair.
And I guess we'll switch the subject real quick. And I know you already kind of touched on this just a little bit, but any concern at all that the Liberty game was as close as it was going forward the rest of the season?
So first of all, it didn't surprise me. Like I mentioned, it's BYU's MO to go big, go big, go big, and then get off on the next medium to lower ranked teams. Also knowing that Liberty was going to show up to win, you know, this was their Super Bowl of the year. So knowing that, not so much. I think they learned their lesson. BYU learned their lesson against Toledo and especially Southern Florida, that they have to play a certain way. They have to practice a certain way to get a win, even against what you would consider an automatic win. And I knew BYU wasn't going to let that happen again. But they still were coming off that emotional high. So it doesn't surprise me, and it doesn't worry me that it was so close. As far as during the middle of the game, I was never worried until the last minute, like, what is it, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, where Liberty had the ball and they were starting to drive. It just kind of made me nervous that maybe they'd get down the field and do something special. But luckily, they stopped him on fourth down and brought home that W.
Okay, I'll take it.
Cool. All right, now I'm excited. Let's kick it over to segment 3. Let's hear how we did last week. Mm-hmm. segment three, games around the nation. Andrew, last week we made some predictions. Let's start off with LSU. How'd we do there, man?
Okay, I'll take my my correct prediction and I'll run with it. I'll be honest, the game got closer at the end. But I don't think that was a fluke. I think LSU's a better football team. Thoughts?
Yes, I agree. Overall, I feel like LSU looked better. They came in better prepared. Man, the quarterback is so good. He's fun to watch.
He slings that rock all over the place, man. He's not scared of any throw.
I mean, he has to be the Heisman front runner.
I think right now you'd probably put him there.
Yeah, you'd be crazy not to. After watching that was impressive.
Yeah, I think the only thing that might change my mind a little bit is if maybe Tua wasn't healthy and Bama's offense was a little bit stymied just because he wasn't all the way healthy and he hadn't been practicing. And so maybe if Tua shows up the next couple of weeks and shows that he's back to his old self, maybe I'll rethink that for sure LSU is better than Bama. But I don't know, man. You go win on their home fields and do it in a somewhat convincing fashion, it's hard to say that they're not for sure the better team.
Definitely. Definitely. Now the question becomes, who can knock off LSU? For years, it's always like, oh, it's who can knock off Bama? And sometimes Clemson shows up, but who's going to do it to LSU?
Man, I really wouldn't mind if Bama goes and loses to Georgia next week. Wouldn't that be great? We could just get rid of Bama out of the playoff picture, but
that would be awesome. That'd be so cool. But would that put Georgia right back?
Yeah, but then LSU beats them in the SEC championship game. We can call it one bid LSU from the SEC, and we're good.
That would be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool. So then, what do you think? Clemson from the ACC, and then Ohio State, and someone from the Pac-12.
If Clemson wins out, Clemson has to win out. But yeah, I think it goes LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and then if that all happens, I think it's Utah-Oregon winner if they take care of business. Of course, they have to do that, but we'll see.
Do you think – so Baylor's making a pretty good run, but they haven't been a big name the last several years. Do you think they make a jab at it?
I just don't think they haven't played Oklahoma or Texas yet, right? Guys, and you go through the Big 12 undefeated, I wouldn't even be mad if they jump. You know, you win your conference and you're undefeated. I can't argue that they would deserve the four spot, but I got to see them do that first.
Speaking of that, Minnesota versus Penn State. I got to watch a good chunk of that game. I loved rooting for Minnesota. That was such a fun team.
Fun coach, fun team to root for. Not a big household name, so it's kind of fun to cheer for the underdogs. So, yeah, that was fun. And again, not sure it was a fluke either. Minnesota was up big in some portions of that game. And for lots of it, it looked like they were the better team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like Penn State was on their heels the entire time. Even the coaching staff, when they showed the head coach, some of the coaches, they looked flustered just as much as the players.
So did. I know I didn't predict Penn State or Minnesota to win that one, but that was my perfect Big Ten round robin. Is Minnesota beats Penn State, Penn State beats Ohio State, Ohio State beats Minnesota, and they all have one loss. So it's the first thing that needed to happen happened. We got to see what goes on from here.
Hey, calling our shots. We're going to go to Vegas next week. It's going to be great. So, with that, one of the teams we talked a lot about last week, Oklahoma versus Iowa State. What'd you think?
Man, I would have just loved if Iowa State would have got that 2-point conversion, handed Oklahoma their second loss, and they probably would have been done. And I don't know. Did you watch that one?
I didn't. Just the highlights.
It looked like pass interference to me on the 2-point conversion, but refs almost always swallow their whistle in that case, so I guess can't blame them, but it looked like PI to me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the great debate do you let him play or do you actually call the calls? You
see? Yeah, it's tough. And, I know.
Yeah. It's interesting kind of getting off in the weeds a little bit. Did you see that the Pac-12 downgraded and suspended some of their refs this past week?
Yeah, it was one from the Cal-Washington State game, and it was a huge blunder. Did you hear what it was?
They assessed the foul to the wrong
team.
Yeah,
so I guess it ended up costing like Washington State like 46 yards or something ridiculous like that. They called it on – it was supposed to be on – Cow, but they called it on Washington State on a kickoff or something. So they started basically 46 yards from where they should have started. On the, I was like, wow.
Yeah, and then they caught it one play after they resumed, and it made me think, I'm like, man, could you do that? Could you go and say, hey, scratch that, back the clock up. We're gonna put you where it was because we just realized, even though you ran one play,
man, do you? You don't even want to get me started on Pac-12 refs and what they do. So there's been multiple plays this year where Utah's been in the middle of a play. Like, they've snapped the ball, started running a play, and the refs will blow the play dead and be like, the previous play is under review. I was like, you can't blow a play dead if the review didn't come in time. Like, they've done a bunch of things like that this year that I just like, man, they don't know what they're – I don't know. That's – a tough job. I never want to do it, but for some reason the Pac-12 has this terrible identity as being poorly officiated, and this is not helping.
Yeah, it definitely has that stigma, and that's one of those things that BYU fans like to joke around about, like, oh, another Pac-12 ref.
Yeah,
but sometimes it's
bad.
Oh, shoot. It's, I think, followed closely behind the Mountain West refs and then NFL refs right behind them. So, getting back into it, Texas beats Kansas State. I called that one. That was one that I had called. I didn't think that Kansas State was going to be able to sustain a winning streak quite like that, especially against Texas, and ended up being correct.
Yeah, I think we both called that one. I think we agreed that Texas had too many athletes, and that was the case. I think Kansas State fought admirably and it was a close game, but Texas's athletes came out on top.
Yep. Yeah, and it's interesting, even when you have a hot hand, there's sometimes teams that just know how to beat you. And I just felt like Texas has always had Kansas State's number.
Yeah.
So, one that I have to mention just because I got to eat some crow. Florida versus Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that was your upset special of the week right there, huh?
Oh, man, I wasn't even close. Florida just took it to them and never let off. They, what was it, like 56-0 or something?
Yeah,
like,
so yeah, they were ready to go. I expected it to – I thought maybe close. Vanderbilt hung around for a little while, but that wasn't even – that was just a butt-kicking.
It was not a game at all. And I got to admit, I was thinking Florida was overrated, especially after watching them against Miami that first game. Like, oh, man, just everybody's talking about the glory days and put them up high in the rankings just because of that. But having watched them play some of these games and just trounce someone like Vanderbilt, they could be legit this year.
Yeah, I think they're at least headed in the right direction. I think there's a couple big games left on their schedule, but that they're definitely going in the right direction.
We talked a little bit about Baylor. So coming up this week, this is going to be an interesting matchup. Oklahoma versus Baylor. Who do you think comes out on that one?
I'll take Oklahoma, and I'll say 45-31. And I think I think loser's eliminated from the playoff. I'll go out on a limb and say that. Loser's out.
Especially if it's Baylor. If Baylor loses, they haven't been good enough the last few years to do like what Alabama does and loses one and can still hold in the top five.
And OU, that would be two losses. I think that officially eliminates them if they lose. So I think either way, I think loser's done.
Yeah. It is in Waco, so they do have a home field advantage. As much as I'd love to see Baylor upset them, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think Oklahoma wins this one.
Yeah, I think Baylor's a pretty decent football team. They probably could have, should have lost this last week to TCU in overtime, but I think Oklahoma ends up being too much for them. I know Oklahoma knows their season's on the line, and I think they show up.
I think another one that could be pretty interesting is the Georgia-Alabama game. Or sorry, Georgia-Auburn.
Yeah, I said Alabama and Georgia was this week, but I just meant, I jumped the gun. It's not this week. I just meant in general, I want Georgia to beat Alabama. But yes, Georgia and Auburn is this week.
Yeah, it's still two very good teams fighting it out. I don't remember who's home. Do you remember who's home on this
one? No, I can look real quick though.
They're in Auburn. I just found it. So they are in Auburn.
Is Auburn still technically alive then?
So they're ranked 12th. I don't think they have any shot really into getting into the playoffs, but just as far as a matchup goes, this Auburn-Georgia game, I think they pair up really, really well. I think it's going to be a really close game.
Yeah, I guess Auburn already has two losses, so I guess they're probably officially out, but they still have some big names left on their schedule to get big wins. So...
yeah,
I guess a lot of things have to go right. They're probably already out, but they could spoil some other teams' playoff chances for sure. They still have Georgia and Alabama on the schedule.
See, if I were a Utah fan, I think I'd be rooting hard for Auburn to beat Georgia and then Georgia to beat Alabama, because then everybody's kind of just
messed up.
That's
a pretty good scenario right there for sure. Yeah, let's do it. Auburn beat Georgia, Georgia beat Bama. We're
There you go. I just feel too, just kind of watching them, that they're built a lot alike. So it'll just be kind of hard nose, good offense, good defense.
Yeah.
Should be good. And then one of my favorite teams, even though it's not the kind of offense I normally like to watch, Navy. Navy is taking on Notre Dame, and they are ranked. Did you know Navy's been ranked?
I just saw that. Yeah.
So I think they've been there the last couple weeks, but Navy's so fun to root for. I love watching them, and they just kind of do what they have to do to win, and they stay disciplined. And it's not like they get these crazy, you know, five-star recruits like crazy, like USC or something, but they're just so disciplined and fundamental that they just get it done. It's kind of fun to watch.
It does help that their coach is pretty likable.
Yes, definitely. I'm gonna have to go out just to make one interesting. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Navy beats Notre Dame in a close one.
Oh man, you're picking the midshipman for the upset.
Yep.
Man, in South Bend, I'll take Notre Dame in a close one. 31-28.
That is a close one. Field goal at the end.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Perfect. I like it. That's the best part about college sports, though, is you don't actually – it just happens, and it's always
for beautiful. Sure.
Is there any other games that you can think of this week that you want to highlight?
No, I think that works for me.
All right, man. Well, let's switch it to segment 4, keys to this week's games. Segment 4, keys to this week's games. Andrew, hey, let's start off with Utah.
Okay. Like I've already mentioned and jinxed us already, Utah's a 21-point favorite for a reason. I think top to bottom, they're a better football team. First big key is they run the football really well. UCLA does. Their running back had 4 touchdowns a couple weeks ago. He's a big, strong kid. But I, like we mentioned before, I'm not sure they've seen a rush defense in a front four like Utah's. I really think they should be able to, but I think that's the key. Make UCLA's quarterback DTR beat you with his arm. Make him make good throws on time in areas, and I don't think he can do that. I think he has 8 interceptions on the year. I think Utah gets a couple turnovers off that. I think the big thing is they've had 2 weeks. Chip Kelly's always got things in his back pocket, so I think Utah's defense has to make sure they stay honest on assignments, don't bite on any trick plays. They run lots of RPOs, so just be assignment sound for the week, and I think Utah takes care of business.
So 8 interceptions, that's quite a bit. But it actually is pretty much on par with a lot of the average to okay quarterbacks in the nation. How's Huntley doing? Is he still 0 on the interception?
He has 1. He threw 1 against ASU and he instantly regretted it, but that's all he's got. So Utah's...
Well, as long as he instantly regretted it, then it's like 0 then, right?
Shouldn't happen, right?
Yeah, it didn't count.
Yeah, it's funny, you watch the highlight. He lets the ball go, and as soon as the ball hasn't even got to the defender yet, and he's already jumping up and down like, no, I shouldn't have thrown that one. But you know, I'll take one pick on the year. Utah's top 3rd in the nation in turnover differential, so I think that's a big part of it. I know it's cliche, turnovers and stop the run, but it is what it is.
I've got a story. Do you care if I tell a story?
No, get it.
It's off in the weeds a little. So it was in high school, my junior year. We were playing the number 1 team in the state, Pasco, who ended up, I think they won state that year. Super good team. They were packed. There was even a kid on the team that was 21 and been divorced and had a kid. Yeah, right? And so the super good team. I go to hand the ball off to my running back. It's a play action pass. He's a big dude, super strong. He somehow, I don't know how he does it, but he somehow gets his elbow perfectly between my gap and my face mask, breaks my nose. I'm gushing blood, and it happens to be the same play where my line just broke down. They were actually a really, really good line. That was a great lineman. But this play, they broke down and they let 4 guys through all at once. It should have been a screen play, but it wasn't. And I just get absolutely clobbered, end up with a broken nose and a concussion. And I, at the time, concussion protocol and all that stuff was not really a thing.
Non-existent, yeah.
Nah, so I just kept playing. I should have honestly just gone to the locker room and like sat in a dark room for a while or something. But so I played the rest of the game with a concussion. I had been playing really well up to that point. And then after the concussion, I think I threw 1 really bad interception, 1 that wasn't my fault. But there was this point in the 4th quarter where we could have come back to win. We ended up losing 7-21 was all. But I throw this this linebacker. I roll out. It's a boot to my right. Linebacker parallels me. He's probably like 7 yards in front of me, and he's just making sure that I don't like run for 10 yards or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I was thinking. I honestly can't like think of any kind of process of thought, but I end up just thinking like I'm gonna throw it to him. So I throw it to him, and it's a lob. And while it's in the air, I go sprinting at him. And as soon as he catches it, I just drill him, absolutely light him up, and I hit him so hard. He still caught it and everything, and everyone's like, what the heck was that? I'm like, I don't know. But I had such a big concussion. I should not have been playing. But I just threw this interception and clocked this kid. It's the funniest thing ever.
That's like a split personality disorder. For a second, your concussion allowed you to think he was on your team, maybe, and you throw him the football, but as it's in the air, you realize, oh, frick, I have a concussion. That guy's not on my team. I should go tackle him.
I'm sure that quarterback or that linebacker was just like, what on earth is going on? But it was also at that time frame where spearing was perfectly legal and like leading with your head and all that stuff. Yeah, I totally just speared right into his chest. It's hilarious.
I guess that makes it better that you threw him the ball, that you made the tackle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I pretty much tackled him before the ball even got there. It was like a punt, you know, when you time the punt. Anyways, I'll have to find the video on that and show you sometime.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'll have to show you the rest of the game before the concussion because I was playing a pretty dang good game. But, yeah, I woke up the next day and I had huge black eyes and nose was still bleeding and I head was fuzzy for about 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But all right, so sorry about that. I totally interrupted your keys to this week's game.
No, I was done with my keys.
Okay, well, Uncle Rico here. Coach would have put me in.
Give it to us, Uncle Rico. What's your keys for this week's game?
You know, it's actually pretty easy. Idaho State, even if they're doing really, really well, it's one you're not too worried about. This particular Idaho State team is actually struggling, so it's like, well, a struggling Idaho State team, basically show up, have fun. I think that's the key to this week's game, is play this game to its fullest, you know, run up the score, let the seniors have a blast and have a ton of fun and build them up, because they're going to be your top recruiters. You know, they're going to be the ones building up this program, whether they go out into the workforce and see kids playing ball on Friday that they can recruit and build up BYU, or if they're in the NFL, you want them loving BYU just like Williams is right now. And so I think it's going to be a pretty easy win. Let the seniors have fun and it'll help build the program up.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. Have you seen those videos, by the way, of Williams?
Yeah.
They're so funny. He's such a funny,
yeah,
funny personality. But all right, dude. Well, let's finish this thing off so you guys can get your family to DISNEY.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's kick it over to segment 5.
I'm in.
Segment 5, final rant. Andrew, I think I'm going to take the lead on this one, if that's cool with you, man.
Yep, go for it.
All right, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but my final rant is just kind of my opinion on what to do with Wilson. There's kind of these two camps of Idaho State is a cupcake team. We shouldn't risk hurting our star quarterback with that. Then the other camp is, hey, if he's healthy, he's earned it, let him roll. I'm okay with either one, or I was okay with either one until I heard that interview. He said something along the lines of, no player and no quarterback should ever lose their starting position due to an injury, especially with how they were playing before the injury. And so reading between the line, knowing how competitive Wilson is in particular, but also just that quarterback spot, I think it's really, really important to stroke that ego a little bit. And I know that sounds like a bad thing to say, but it's not. You want your quarterback to be confident, have a little bit of an ego. You kind of have to have that. So I think you need to stroke that, let him start the game, and then just be pretty upfront, like, hey, we're going to try and get through 4 quarterbacks today. So you get quarter 1 and maybe part of 2, depending on how things go. You definitely don't get the second half or something, but give him the title QB1 back and let him play. I think that one doesn't burn any bridges, like you mentioned, Andrew. It keeps him happy. And then the other part of it is, this is a perfect game for him to ease back into things. It's like a glorified scrimmage of sorts, you know. Let him kick off that rust and get back into it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you want your quarterback to be confident, and I think you want him, like we mentioned in the past, to be able to feel comfortable in who he is as a quarterback and not be looking over his shoulder if he makes a couple mistakes. So I think you want to keep that confidence high. Again, we're not in there. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what kind of confidence Kalani puts in him, even if he doesn't play. But I agree that that interview sounded like that if he was healthy, he wants to be out there. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And it's funny, at one point, Kalani said in an interview that Wilson wanted to play safety a couple weeks ago against Boise. So he wants to be out there, and I think it comes down to can that thumb handle X amount of throws? Do you throttle him a little? But I still think you got to give him that QB1 spot and go from there.
Yeah, kid just likes to play football.
Amen to that. Can't blame him for that. It's hard to play and then sit on the sideline with a cast on, right?
It's true. It's true, yeah.
All right, buddy. What's your final rant for this week?
Oh, man, I don't have much. I really want Utah to put on a show this weekend. I think there's some doubters that they should be as high as they are. And I know beating UCLA is not going to do enough to prove that they're the seventh-ranked team in the country. But I think if you go beat them 50-something to 20-something, they can't put any fingers about it. And it looks like, you know, you belong where you are. So I don't think this is for sure like, hey, they're going to belong. But I think if they go put a show on, you at least you quiet some haters there and get ready to go for the last two big games of the season.
So something I just found, there is a survey out there of what the final four teams would be. They have Utah at 6% chance of being one of the final four.
Yeah, I still think there's a lot that has to go right for them, but I think that 6% is as they currently stand. I think there's a lot of good things for Utah that can still happen, and I think might even happen. I'm not, again, and this was my rant last week, Utah can only control what they can control. If they go 11-1 and win the Pac-12 championship and go to the Rose Bowl, I'm not going to be pissed about it, because that means things happened in front of them that they couldn't control, and that is what it is. But I want them to go and put on the show that they can, and that they have every game this year except for one, and show that they deserve the spot, and see what happens from there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we had mentioned that, you just mentioned it, the very first episode we ever did, like, Andrew, if you could line it out, and we just said, hey, Utah plays in the Rose Bowl, and you're like, boom, I'll take it. It's mine.
I think the College Football Playoff is, of course, it's program changing. It's huge. But I don't think the Rose Bowl is that far behind as far as program changing goes. It's the Rose Bowl, for goodness sakes. Utah's never been there. The amount of publicity you get for that and the amount of recruit attention you get from that is still program changing for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Look what it did for Oklahoma.
Yep.
2 years ago. And kind of like we had mentioned, I think there's two big games, you know, that could tip the scale to make it a legitimate opportunity for Utah. That's if Georgia beats Alabama, and then if Utah plays Oregon in the championship and beats them.
Oh.
If those two things kind of line up, and then we'll have to see what happens to the Big 12. That gives them a legitimate shot. Not like a guarantee, but at least a legitimate shot.
I'm the biggest Ducks fan in the world until we play in the Pac-12 championship. I need them to go look good for the next couple weeks. Keep that ranking up nice and high.
Yep. Yeah, they've had a couple close calls, though. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, they handled USC pretty good last week, and I think their road doesn't look terrible. Washington State's been struggling, so we'll see.
Yeah. Yep. All right, buddy. Well, we had some pretty good rants this season. I know this one wasn't necessarily our most emotional, but I think that's pretty good stuff.
For sure.
All right, guys. Hey, Andrew's taking his family off to the happiest place on earth. They don't know it, so we'll have to hear how that goes. Maybe you could shoot us a couple videos on Instagram or something.
I mean, I'll do it.
All right, buddy. You guys have fun down there, and thanks for joining us this week. Again, this is Chase and Andrew on Brothers of Holy War, episode 17, and we'll catch you guys next week.